The House will come to order, and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barnhart. Berger. Beyer. Bonamici. Boone. Boquist. Bruin. Buckley. Burley. Butler. Cameron. Cannon. Clem. Cowan. Dallum. Dingfelder. Chris Edwards. David Edwards. Esquivel. Flores. Galizio. Gerard. Gelzer. Gilliam. Gilman. Gerard. Greenlick. Hannah. Holvey. Hunt. Jensen. Comp. Kotek. Krieger. Crummel. Lim. McPherson. Maurer. Minnis. Morgan. Nathanson. Nelson. Nolan. Olson. Reed. Richardson. Riley. Roblin. Rosenbaum. Schaffler. Scott. Shields. Greg Smith. Patty Smith. Thatcher. Tomei. Wisnet. Witt. Mr. Speaker. Excused. Kotek. Excuse for business. Nolan.
The flag salute will be led by Representative Peter Buckley.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The opening ceremony will be a moment of silence. Courtesies. The honoree page today is Jake Halter, Salem Academy of Salem, guest of Representative Brian Clem. Do we have further courtesies? Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like us to welcome the City View Charter School from Hillsboro. There are about 20 students up here in the gallery. Also, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to request unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and my friend and former Representative Ralph Brown be granted privileges of the House.
I'm sorry I didn't hear your request, Representative.
I'd like the rules to be suspended and a unanimous consent to suspend them and allow former Representative Ralph Brown onto the floor and be granted the floor.
Thank you. Representative Riley requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and former Representative Ralph Brown be granted privileges to the House and the floor. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. I did want to acknowledge that we have many representatives of Head Start with us today, and to let everyone know that and acknowledge them so that we don't individually address all of those representatives from our separate districts. We are delighted to have those involved in Head Start here. Welcome to the Oregon House. Great to have you. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like you to give a warm welcome to three members of the West Oregon Electric Co-op, Mark Barmer, Robert Vanetta, and David Hess, guests of mine today. And they're somewhere in the building, and like my eyes are a little bit blurry right now. But welcome to the Capitol.
Thank you. Representative Crummel.
Thank you, Mr. Mr. Speaker. I would like to extend courtesies to the young lady that is sitting to my right today. She is a constituent of mine from Sherwood, has been in the area for a long time, and also is a volunteer now in my office on Thursdays. And so when you see her coming, or when you see her here on Thursdays in my office, she's working away and helping me and Sue stand up. This is Sue Miller, and as I mentioned, a constituent of mine and a good friend, and I'm really, really glad to have her help in my office. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Great to have you. Representing Bill Girard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, join me in welcoming students, faculty, and staff from Oregon's Jewel in the Crown, Oregon Institute of Technology in Klamath Falls. They're located up in the gallery, and we welcome them. With a 97% graduate placement rate and starting salaries in excess of $44,000, home of the new Oregon Healthcare Professional Center, now under construction, and the Oregon Renewable Energy Center, and I might proudly add, the Hustlin' Owl champion basketball team. But you are all invited to stop by the Galleria for their display today and a reception from 3:30 to 5:30. And thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like to have you extend courtesy to the house to the 8th graders from the Highland Park Middle School in Beaverton, and Ms. Quinn is with them today. Not there somewhere. Over here. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As you note, our honorary page today is Jacob Halter, and I just wanted to extend courtesies and tell you three quick things about Jacob. One, note his great tie, American flag tie today. Yeah. Two, he's actually, and he may not even know this, he's not from Salem. He's from Marion County. He's about one block from Salem in an unincorporated area, and we're working with his folks on some issues there, Mr. Speaker. Three is his interests and career goals are basketball, debating, politics, and his career goals are government or community service. So welcome, Jacob, one of my constituents.
Thank you very much. And I do want to acknowledge that today is Dee Dee's birthday. So delighted to celebrate with you another year. And are there further courtesies? Seeing none. Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform the Senate has passed Senate Bill 32, 42, and 60.
First reading, memorials and resolutions. Standing committee reports. The committee report files dated February 7th and 8th have been distributed. Propositions and motions. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 2626 relating to recycling of electronic devices. House Bill 2627 relating to printing of public documents with more than two colors. House Bill 2628 relating to lighting fixtures. House Bill 2629 relating to students who are not taught in public schools and declared emergency. House Bill 2630 relating to Oregon Veterans Home Account. House Bill 2631 relating to State Parks and Recreation Commission. House Bill 2632 relating to Pledge of Allegiance and declared emergency. House Bill 2633 relating to Vocational Rehabilitation Services. House Bill 2634 relating to Oregon Farm Direct Nutrition Program and Appropriate Money and declaring emergency. House Bill 2635 relating to family leave. House Bill 2636 relating to government ethics. House Bill 2637 relating to cyberbullying and declaring emergency. House Bill 2638 relating to annexation and declaring emergency. House Bill 2639 relating to driver license renewal. House Bill 2640 relating to elections. House Bill 2641 relating to finance prescribing effective date. House Bill 2642 relating to lottery reserve fund. House Bill 2643 relating to tax relief commission and economic community development department appropriate money and prescribing effective date. House Bill 2644 relating to lottery bonds construction passenger terminal at the Redmond Municipal Airport appropriate money and declaring emergency. House Bill 2645 relating to distracted driving. House Bill 2646 relating to nonprofit organizations providing substance abuse treatment. House Bill 2647 relating to historic districts. House Bill 2648 relating to gifts provided by pharmaceutical manufacturing companies appropriate money and declaring emergency. House Bill 2650 relating to standards for items sold in schools and declaring an emergency.
Bills read first time or passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 2086 relating to municipal corporation audits. House Bill 2088 relating to reports received by the Secretary of State. House Bill 2141 relating to summary affirmance on appeal. House Bill 2142 relating to criminal forfeiture. House Bill 2158 relating to advisory committee to Director of Veterans Affairs. House Bill 2160 relating to administration of Veterans Affairs. House Bill 2161 relating to Department of Veterans Affairs. House Bill 2165 relating to CIDR. House Bill 2202 relating to check cashing businesses and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2203 relating to short-term consumer loans and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2204 relating to title loans and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2205 relating to lender liquor licenses and declaring emergency. House Bill 2220 relating to power broker regulation. House Bill 2230 relating to property tax relief for hardships and prescribing effective date. House Bill 2265 relating to employees of education agencies declaring emergency. House Bill 2287 relating to flower seeds. House Bill 2289 relating to animal feeds. House Bill 2290 relating to foodborne illness prevention. House Bill 2309 relating to construction contractors. House Bill 2316 relating to courts. House Bill 2343 relating to appeals of juvenile court judgments. House Bill 2449 relating to Oregon Ice Age Museum at the Columbia Gorge Discovery Center in the Dalles.
Bills read second time or passed the third reading. Consent calendar. I'd like to remind folks that on the consent calendar, we will not be debating the bills, and that we'll be moving fairly quickly through the votes, and so to encourage everyone to stay close to their desk so that you can register your opinion. The clerk will read the bill and short summary. The question now arises.
House Bill 2157 relating to emergency financial assistance adds an unremarried supervising spouse of veteran to persons eligible to receive emergency financial assistance.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill number 2157. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Shields, how do you vote? Shields votes aye. Representative Minnis, how do you vote? Minnis is off the floor. House Bill 2157, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill and short summary.
House Bill 2159, relating to veterans' loans, deletes monetary limit on farm loans to veterans.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2159. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Flores, how do you vote? Flores votes aye. Representative McPherson, how do you vote? McPherson votes aye. House Bill 2159, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill in short summary.
House Bill 2162, relating to survivors of veterans, extends certain services provided by County Veterans Service Offense Officers and survivors of veterans.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2162. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Lim, how do you vote? Lim votes aye. Right. House Bill 2162, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, we'll read the next bill in short summary.
House Bill 2192, relating to claims against the states and declaring an emergency established priority of Department of Human Services and claims against the state of descendant for amounts owed by reason of care and maintenance of descendant in state institution.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2192. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass shall vote aye, and those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Aye. Representative Beyer votes aye. Representative Boone, how do you vote? Boone votes aye. Representative Shields, how do you vote? Shield votes aye. House Bill 2192, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill in summary.
House Bill 2267, relating to instruction driver permit, allows renewal of instruction driver permit.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2267. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Beyer votes aye. Representative Shields votes aye. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Clem votes aye. Representative Roblin, how do you vote? Roblin votes aye. Representative Wisnett, how do you vote? Wisnett votes aye. House Bill 2267, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill in summary.
House Bill 2274, related to safety corridors and prescribing an effective date, eliminates sunset on law that doubles fines for traffic offenses committed in safety corridors.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2274. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Burley, how do you vote? Burley votes aye. House Bill 2274, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill in summary.
House Bill 2355, relating to Client Security Fund, provides that Board of Governors of Oregon State Bar may issue investigatory subpoenas at any time after claim is filed by client claiming procurary loss payable from Client Security Fund.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2355. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Chris Edwards, how do you vote? Edwards votes aye. Okay. House Bill 2355, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill in summary.
House Bill 2356, relating to attorneys, corrects references to federal agencies in statute governing immigration consultants.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2356. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should be passed, vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barker, how do you vote? Barker votes aye. Representative Buckley, how do you vote? Buckley votes aye. House Bill 2356, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. That ends our consent calendar. We'll now turn to third reading of House bills. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2027, relating to adult foster homes and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2027A. Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today I'm here to talk to you about House Bill 2027, also known as the Home Alone Bill. You may have heard about this from some of your constituents who have been negatively impacted by an inadvertent change when DHS agencies were merged together. In previous times, adults with developmental disabilities who lived in adult foster care facilities, upon passing a test where they could demonstrate their ability to call 911, do some cooking, and practice some safety skills, would be granted an exception to be able to spend some time home alone in their own home, in their foster home, with their foster care provider not being there. However, due to an inadvertent change, the department was advised by the Attorney General that they needed to stop this practice until we made the statutory fix, which is present in House Bill 2027. To give some examples of what this has meant for individuals, when they come home from work, if the foster provider is not home, they have to lock the doors. It is okay for this person to be locked out of their home, but it is not okay for them to be home alone. People have been, adult foster care providers have been advised, for example, to drop their clients off at Target if they're not able to supervise them, at a bus station or a train station. They can also be left alone when camping, but they cannot be in their home alone. And this is a problem. For some individuals, there was a couple that we heard about in our committee that is married. They are not allowed to have private time at home alone. And in order to achieve that time, they actually need to rent a hotel room once a month so that they can practice their skills and independence and practice their cooking skills so that hopefully they can soon be living alone again. So I urge your support of House Bill 2027. It is intended to go into effect immediately. The department is poised to adopt the rules to be able to restore the freedom of these individuals to be in their own homes alone. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does carrier yield?
Yes.
In looking at this bill, I am wondering whether the movie Home Alone would be affected or be an illustration of the change that this bill calls for.
Allow me to check with my committee administrator. My wise committee administrator informs me that Home Alone 1 could be affected, but Home Alone 2 should be safe.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Gelser, do you wish to close?
Thank you for listening. Thank you, Rosenbaum, on behalf of all of the freshmen in the House for the welcome, and thank you very much.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Representative Butler, for what purpose do you rise?
I change my vote from no to aye, please.
Butler changes his vote from no to aye. Representative Rosenbaum.
Change my vote from nay to aye.
Rosenbaum changes her vote to aye. Representative Dingfelder. Galizio, excuse me.
Change my vote.
To?
Aye.
To aye. Representative Burley.
Change my vote to an aye.
Changes to an aye. Representative Boone.
Mr. Speaker, I've decided to change my vote from no to aye.
Very good. Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Please change my vote from nay to aye.
Representative Nathanson changes her vote to aye. Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think someone already changed my vote for me. I thought it had something to do with phoning for loans, and I was confused by this. I'm sorry. I'm glad to have the aye vote.
Buckley votes aye. Representative Brune.
Mr. Speaker, after hearing Representative Buckley's analysis, I'd like to change my vote from a no to an aye.
Brune votes aye. Representative Crummell. You're all set. Very good. Okay. House Bill 2027A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2068, relating to Invasive Species Council.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2068. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2068 has been reported out of your Committee on Ag and Natural Resources unanimously. What this bill does is essentially add the state forester as a voting ex officio member of the Invasive Species Council. The forestry folks have been participating in the council for the last few years, but are not technically members of the council. The forestry department has a lot of experience with their forest land insect and disease program. With sudden oak death and other issues that affect forests, they have become quite knowledgeable and play a helpful role on the council, and the Department of Ag oversees the Invasive Species Council and supports adding the state forester as a voting ex officio member. I believe that's all I've got. Thank you.
Very good. Further discussion? Representative Clem, do you wish to close?
No, sir. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Lim, how do you vote? Representative Lim, how do you vote? Lim votes aye. Representative Thatcher, how do you vote? Thatcher votes aye. Representative Tomei, how do you vote? Tomei votes aye. Okay. House Bill 2068, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2076, relating to landscaping.
Representative Thatcher. The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2076. Representative Thatcher.
Thank you. House Bill 2076 authorizes the Landscape Contractors Board to issue a probationary landscape contractor's license. This is for people who want to be licensed. It opens up the field a little bit. There's a lot of people operating without licenses right now in the landscape industry, but this will open it up for them, allowing them to get a probationary license if they don't yet meet the education and experience requirements. But the applicants who or excuse me, the applicants who pass all sections of the landscape contractor exam during a one-year period would be allowed to work for a licensed landscaping business for up to 2 years under direct supervision of a fully licensed landscape contractor. They could start their own landscaping business with additional bonding requirement of $15,000 and a project limit of up to $15,000. They could also work as a supervising landscape contractor when the business posts a $15,000 bond and there's a maximum project cost of $15,000. They're limited again. The probationary period would last 2 years, after which the licensee would be able to apply for full licensure if they meet the education and experience requirements. Currently, there are about 1,500 licensed landscape contractors and 1,200 landscaping businesses here in Oregon. It's a positive way to help individuals enter the landscaping industry while protecting consumers. It was a unanimous due pass from the committee. I recommend its passage today.
Thank you. Thank you. Further discussion, Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier?
Question of the carrier, do you?
Yes.
She does.
Representative, thank you very much. In subsection 2 of section 2, I have a concern that the probationary landscape contractor may obtain removal from probationary status. It does not say shall obtain removal. I have a concern that the probationary license would continue indefinitely, and I'm wondering if your administrator or might have some clarification on that. Again, I agree with the gist of the bill, but I have a concern that we'd have probationary contractors doing that for 20 years.
You're right. There currently is nothing in the bill that would prevent reapplication to a probationary license, but really the incentive wouldn't be there to remain as a probationary licensee due to the fact that you would be limited on your job scope to $15,000. You have additional bonding and licensing requirements, and you know, as you're getting your experience work over that two-year period of time, that you could use that towards getting your full licensing. So there really wouldn't be that incentive to continue as a probationary licensee. The extra layer of consumer protection is there for the probationary licensee doing work on projects that are limited in scope, and they have that additional bonding and licensing requirement. So
thank you for your answer. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I'm going to register a no vote on this bill just to express my concern with that factor. I have many licensed landscape contractors in my district who are struggling to survive. I just have a concern that the probationary requirements are, since they're lower than the fully licensed contractor, might provide an avenue for someone to operate in business even though the scope is less and take business away from people that have gone to that extra step to get their license. So I will vote no and try to pursue this on the Senate side for some clarification on the length of the probationary license. Thank you.
Representative Thatcher, do you wish to close?
I do. Thank you. Right now, I'm sure you see a lot of these little trucks driving around with their own little tag moniker on the side saying they do landscape work. There's a lot of stuff going on underground without that consumer protection. This would allow those people, the smaller contractors, the small people that want to just get into the business, to do it legally and to have that layer of consumer protection that is necessary. And I would encourage your I vote, and this is a good bill. So thank you.
Thank you. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass shall vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Rep. Barnhart votes aye. House Bill 2076, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2091, relating to fees collected by Secretary of State.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2091. Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, colleagues, I bring you House Bill 2091, from the Committee on Government Accountability and Information Technology. This bill was passed out of committee with unanimously with a due pass recommendation. The essence of the bill is fairly simple. Currently, the Secretary of State's Office, the Corporations Division, administers the UCC filings program, and they are required by statute to charge $10 for every UCC filing that they handle through that office. All of that is currently handled by hand, and the Secretary of State's office has engaged a vendor in developing an electronic filing system, and they are simply asking for permission to lower the fee if they deem necessary to less than $10. And I strongly encourage your support in their request to do that by rule, and I do want to clarify that this does not allow them to raise the fee at all. It only allows them to lower the fee. I urge your yes vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Chris Edwards, do you wish to close?
I do, and I will be brief. Colleagues, I do not think that there will be many times when an agency comes to us and asks to be able to lower fees to the public. And so not only should we vote yes on this, but we should celebrate this occasion. Thank you.
Very good. Those who are of the opinion that the vote should pass shall vote aye. And those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. House Bill 2091, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2111, relating to construction contractors.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2111. Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my pleasure to bring House Bill 2111 to the floor. This was a pre-session filed bill at the request of our governor for the Construction Contractors Board, which I know you all know commonly as CCB, and is brought to you today from our Consumer Protection Committee, ably chaired by Representative Holby. The bill is designed to close a loophole in the current CCB licensing law, which allows a small number of new contractors to avoid important education and testing requirements. I know many of my colleagues may have engaged in this practice in their past, certainly not since they've been representatives, and they'll be attentive to this bill. Under current law, a construction business must be licensed by the CCB. To obtain a license, a construction business must designate a person in the business known as a responsible managing individual, or as you know, RMI, to take the training and pass the CCB test. This training provides fundamental information regarding business practices and regulations. But current law does not require that that person that takes the training and passes the test have an active role in managing that construction business. House Bill 2111 closes this loophole by requiring a contractor's RMI to exercise management or supervisory authority over the activities of his or her construction business. Let me just say, colleagues, I urge that we close this loophole and bring increased integrity back to the construction contractor licensing process and thereby enhance consumer protection. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Further discussion? Representative Shuffler.
I just wanted to declare potential conflict of interest. I'm a licensed contractor in Oregon.
So noted for the record. Representative Boone.
I also need to declare a potential conflict of interest as I'm a half owner and contracting company.
So noted for the record. Representative Thatcher.
Well, while we're at declaring potential conflicts of interest, I would also, I'm a registered managing individual for CCB licensed company. So
noted for the record. Seeing no further discussion, Representative Gilliam, would you like to close?
Just once again, Mr. Speaker, I would like to say that this is a good bill. It closes a loophole and requires those involved in the business to actually take the training and take the test. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Those of who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Berger votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Representative Rosenbaum, how do you vote? Rosenbaum votes aye. House Bill 2111, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2121, relating to rulemaking procedures.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2121A. Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I bring to you today House Bill 2121. Basically, this bill is going to allow our agencies to change a little bit about how they do rulemaking notification. The first thing, the bill expands their ability to use electronic notice in proposed rules. Agencies will be able to send a postcard with a website, and the individual who the postcard comes to can go to that website and check the rules out. It will not preclude individuals who require paper notification that don't have internet access. They will still be required to do that if an individual so chooses. The second thing that it does is it allows some allows agencies to make some small changes to references without going through formal notices on those small changes, such as addresses and telephone numbers and those types of things. It's a good bill, and we should encourage our agencies to be efficient by using it.
Thank you. Further discussion, Representative Crummell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, there is a provision in this bill that really bothers me. And the provision that bothers me is on page 3, starting at line 23 and goes through line 28, and that is the removal of the or the elimination of the provision requiring agencies to postpone intended action when an interested person requests that to be done. Right now, when our agencies make rules, they do put out a notice. But if a person is trying to do the research that the agency has already been able to do, and they need more time to be able to do that research in order to put together a coherent argument for that rule, whether it's for it or against it, doesn't really matter. But when they're trying to put together that coherent argument, the problem is that if they need more time, the agency now is not required to give them the time that they may need. So consequently, the agency can say, you're not ready, tough beans, we're moving forward, and we don't really care what you have to say. Ladies and gentlemen, we get enough of that in government already. We don't need to allow the agencies to do that even more. I have a real problem with that provision being in this bill, and I'm going to oppose this bill for that reason, and I would encourage you to oppose the bill for the same reason. If they want to take it back to committee and work that aspect, the rest of the bill I don't have a problem with, but that one particular provision I have a major problem with. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Cameron, do you wish to close?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to clarify, Representative Crummell, I want to make sure you're looking at the A engrossed bill, because we did put an amendment that put that provision back in there. So I think your issues hopefully were taken care of, because that was an issue that came up during the hearing. And on the A engrossed, there is an amendment that does that. Does that clarify for you? So, again, hopefully that clarifies the concern that was brought up on the House floor, and I apologize for the confusion there, and it's a good bill, should pass.
Thank you very much. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Gelser, how do you vote? Gelser votes aye. Representative Wisnett, how do you vote? Wisnett votes aye. House Bill 2121A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2130, relating to criminal inquiries, compensation account, and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2130. Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I rise today in support of House Bill 2130. This passed out of the Judiciary Committee unanimously. This bill was brought to us by Attorney General Hardy Myers for the Oregon Department of Justice. It will provide more flexibility to the Attorney General or the Attorney General's designee when dispersing funds from the criminal injuries compensation account to cities and counties for their comprehensive victims assistance programs. Here's how this works. There's a criminal injuries compensation account, and that is funded through criminal fines and assessments. Once the funds are in the compensation account, they don't just stay there. They're distributed to cities and counties that maintain victims assistance programs. Those programs now exist in 36 district attorney offices and in 5 city attorney offices throughout the state. And now the current law provides that the Attorney General shall distribute up to one half of the money in the criminal injuries compensation account. This has been problematic because the Attorney General has wanted to distribute more, but has been restricted from doing so by the current statute. So what this bill does, it deletes the one-half limitation and provides flexibility to the Attorney General by changing the language to allow distribution of a portion of the money. The Judiciary Committee heard testimony in support of this bill from the Director of the Crime Victims Assistance Section of the Department of Justice and from a district attorney, and those testifying convinced us that the flexibility provided in the bill would be beneficial because it will result in more funding to programs that provide assistance to crime victims. Now, you may notice that there's a fiscal impact statement associated with this bill. It will not affect the general fund. It is simply a reallocation of funding from this criminal injuries compensation account to the cities and counties for their use. Now, finally, colleagues, if any of you are concerned about the lack of certainty in changing the statutory language from 50% to a portion, I want to assure you that in testimony, we were persuaded by both the Department of Justice and the district attorney that they do work collaboratively, and this bill will expand the capacity of our local communities to serve victims of crime. So in closing, I encourage your aye vote, and we'll be happy to answer any questions.
Further discussion? Representative Lim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I have a question to the carrier, please.
Question to the carrier. Does carrier yield?
Yes.
Carrier does.
As I read the major summary, is this money goes to the program or is this goes to the victims?
The money goes from the criminal injuries compensation account to cities and counties for use in their victims assistance programs. The victims assistance programs are run by district attorney's offices and by cities, and the funds will go from the central account that the state holds to local jurisdictions. And so it means more monies will be going to local jurisdictions to help crime victims.
The follow-up, Mr. Speaker.
Follow-up question is, Carrier yield?
Yes, I'm not quite clear that whether this goes to the benefit of the victims or it strictly goes to the program.
It does go. Then the district attorney offices and the city attorney offices do then distribute it to crime victims and also use it to run their programs in the cities and counties. But this is a way to get the money out through the state where it can be used to help local crime victims.
Okay, thank you. That answers my question. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, does Carrier wish to close?
I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Burley, how do you vote? Burley votes aye. Representative Crummell, how do you vote? Crummell votes aye. Representative Richardson, how do you vote? Richardson votes aye. And Representative Shields, how do you vote? Shields votes aye. House Bill 2130, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2139, relating to mediation.
Question now arise upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2139. Representative Bonamici, on meditation or mediation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill is, in fact, about mediation. Colleagues, I rise today in support of House Bill 2139. This is another bill that passed unanimously out of the Judiciary Committee and was brought to us by Attorney General Hardy Myers for the Oregon Department of Justice. Now, this bill clarifies the somewhat ambiguous statute governing mediation in public bodies by providing that if the mediation involves a workplace interpersonal dispute between employees of a public body, it will be confidential. Now, in general, the laws governing confidentiality of mediation differ depending on who's involved in the mediation. If a mediation is between private parties, it will be confidential. Based on Oregon's interest in open government, most mediations involving public bodies are not confidential. When the dispute involves a workplace interpersonal dispute between employees of a public body, however, the current policy is that mediation is and should be confidential, and this bill clarifies that policy. This makes sense because we want to encourage alternative dispute resolution, and we want to make the setting one in which the disputing co-workers can speak candidly with the mediator. Now, disputes among co-workers are not uncommon. I learned that in a new U.S. News and World Report study, it showed that 88% of all Americans feel a lack of respect at work is a serious problem. So I want to provide an example of how this bill will work. Let's say that there's a freshman legislator carrying a bill on the floor for the first time. Now, her colleagues decide to pepper her with meaningless questions, and she hears that they may vote no and then change their votes to yes, and she doesn't know what to expect. So one legislator in particular starts asking her questions, and she gets very angry, and so they start arguing and threats ensue. Well, a mediator is called in to resolve the dispute. Now, colleagues, because of your support of House Bill 2139, the parties are able to resolve their dispute not only quickly, but peacefully and confidentially. So the rest of the session proceeds smoothly. We all go home by the end of June. So therefore, I encourage your aye vote on House Bill 2139.
Further discussion?
And I entertain questions.
Further discussion? I think that speech invites further discussion. Is there any further discussion? There seems to be no further discussion.
No further discussion.
Representative,
good.
Would you like to close?
Very briefly. Mediation is an
effective... Excuse me, just a moment. Privilege of the chair to interrupt you and recognize Representative Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just like to recognize the fact that we have a Democratic and a Republican whip on the floor that handle mediation. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think it's been abundantly clear which freshman legislators not to mess with in disputes.
Very good. Any further discussion? Carrier, do you wish to close?
Very briefly. Mediation is a very efficient way to improve workplace productivity and involve and avoid costly litigation. And the ability to speak candidly with our coworkers is a necessary component of successful mediation. This bill will clarify the existing law and further the policy of alternative dispute resolution. I therefore encourage your aye vote.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Burley, how do you vote? Burley votes aye. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Representative Clem votes aye. House Bill 2139, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2184, relating to unclassified service positions in the Department of Human Services.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2184. Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring you House Bill 2184 from your House Human Services and Women's Wellness Committee. This is a bill that came at the request of the Department of Human Services. As you know, Oregon courts follow the idea that Oregon is an at-will employment state. However, within the department, there needs to be a clarification of which employees are, in fact, at will. And so this bill specifies that the deputy director and principal assistant personnel positions within DHS are unclassified service employees and that they serve at the pleasure of the director of the Department of Human Services. I urge your aye vote on House Bill 2184.
Further discussion? Representative Holdy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to this bill. I am very concerned about the ever-growing population of unclassified workers being appointed at the discretion of a particular agency head and having those employees serve at the pleasure of the director. I think this is a growing issue that the legislature will have to deal with at some point in time in the future, and I just am voting no to voice my concern about this particular issue. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Gelser, do you wish to close?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to clarify that in this bill, in the testimony, it was very clear which individual positions would be impacted by this change in law. They would include DHS deputy directors, DHS assistant directors. Those are people like James Taves, who oversees SPD, and Ramona Foley, who oversees the Children and Families Division. and others in those types of administrative positions. Also, there is a definition of who these people are in statute in Oregon 240.205 sub 4, principal assistants and deputies and one private secretary for each executive or administrative officer specified, and that the deputy means the deputy or deputies to an executive or administrative officer listed thereof. The principal assistant means a manager of a major agency organizational component who reports directly to an executive or administrative officer listed in subsections 1, 2, 3. So I do believe that this bill is narrow enough in scope that it is not opening up to a broad number of people who can be dismissed at will. These are very central administrative positions. I urge your aye vote on House Bill 2184.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Burley, how do you vote? Burley votes aye. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Representative Gilliam votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Nolan votes aye. Representative Shields, how do you vote? Shields votes no. House Bill 2184, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2191, relating to overpayments of public assistance.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2191. Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2191 is brought to you today by your House Committee on Human Services and Women's Wellness. It was pre-session filed by the Department of Human Services at the request of the governor. This will improve the ability of the State Department of Human Services to be accountable with funds that are dispersed for assistance to individuals who are eligible for DHS services. Right now, DHS is not able to issue an overpayment notice if funds are dispersed to a person who is eligible for funds, but they then go and spend those funds on a purpose that is not authorized. An example might be a person is given assistance for the purpose of payment for housing or childcare, but if those funds are instead utilized to pay for a vacation or a car, even though that person was entitled to receive those funds, that is not an appropriate use of the funds, and the department would like the ability to be able to recover those funds. The same is true for when there is an expense that an individual is eligible to be reimbursed for, and that individual receives that reimbursement twice. If this bill is passed, the department can issue an overpayment to be able to recover the cost of that reimbursement, so that individual is being reimbursed for that cost only once. It also allows the department to seek recovery when payment to a provider of services, which they're appropriate services which the beneficiary is entitled to receive, but if that person intercepts the payment to that provider, that also would be subject to recovery. This is an important bill because it allows the Department of Human Services to be accountable and to hold its clients accountable as it administers the services that are very important to the people of Oregon, and it will help them make our tax dollars go further in helping the people that very much need that help. I urge your support of House Bill 2191.
Further discussion? Representative Gelser, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
She does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Nelson, how do you vote? Nelson votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Nolan votes aye. House Bill 2191, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2208, relating to benefits for performing military service and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2208. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2208 extends financial aid eligibility to Oregon veterans who are enrolled part-time in vocational training or study programs. Under current statute, veterans receive financial aid of $150 per month for full-time study or training. The total number of payments may not exceed the total number of years served in the armed forces, or 36 months, whichever is less. Furthermore, qualified veterans only become eligible for state financial assistance after exhausting their federal tuition assistance. This bill enhances the state educational benefit by adding $100 per month for veterans enrolled in part-time study or training. House Bill 2208 comes to you from the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, which received a unanimous vote. Please join me in supporting 2208 to help our veterans pursue educational opportunities, whether they are able to attend full or part-time. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Scott, do you wish to close?
Thank you.
No. Chooses not to. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Comp, how do you vote? Comp votes aye. Representative Riley, how do you vote? Riley votes aye. House Bill 2208, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2252, relating to criminal records checks and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2252. Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise today to support House Bill 2157. Oh, excuse me. Colleagues, last session we had House Bill 2157, which was a huge fingerprinting bill. It allowed agencies to do background checks to protect the public, to reduce identity theft, and a lot of other things that we need to be responsible for as stewards here in the state of Oregon. Today, House Bill 2252 brings a few agencies that were left out last session on board to allow them to do this under specific rules and guidelines that are outlined in the procedures in the ORS statutes. So today this bill would add DCBS, Commission for the Blind, Office of the Private Health Partnerships, and it'll give them the ability to set up rules and guidelines, identify the people who they wish to do this to, and the reasons for rejection of those jobs.
Further discussion? Representative Bonamici.
Mr. Speaker, many people have asked me about my no vote in the Judiciary Committee on this bill. I'm going to be voting for House Bill 2252 today, changing my no vote to a yes vote, and I want to explain why. At the hearing in the Judiciary Committee, I voted against the bill after the hearing primarily because I was concerned about two issues. I wasn't sure that there were adequate safeguards dealing with the fingerprints once they were obtained, and I also was not convinced that there existed an established procedure for determining
among other things, who would be fingerprinted. Despite the fact that I sit right next to Representative Cameron, I didn't have all the background about the bill that passed last session. So after the hearing, I had the opportunity to speak with representatives from DCBS, Department of Consumer and Business Services, about my concerns. And I also learned that there is that thorough procedure that's set out in this multi-page statute. And that statute does address my concerns, including what happens to the fingerprints once they're obtained. And I also learned that each agency is required to adopt rules regarding fingerprinting and to make sure that there is a nexus between the job that they're interviewing for and the need for the fingerprints. So now that I'm convinced that that's within, those safeguards are within the rules and within the statute, I will be voting for this bill. Also, the Department of Justice is working on model rules to fulfill the requirement for all the affected agencies. So because of that additional information, I am changing my no vote to yes vote. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Cameron, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm sure this will not be the last fingerprinting bill that we hear about.
House Bill 22, hold on here. Let's vote first. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Boquist, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Nolan votes aye. House Bill 2252, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2266, relating to school bus endorsements.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2266. Representative Dahlem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It is a privilege to carry House Bill 2266 for the Pupil Transportation Office as part of the Oregon Department of Education. The Oregon Student Transportation System carries over 284,000 students on 5,000 buses plus for 54 million miles per year. It is the safest mode of transportation in our state. It is also the safest mode of transportation in the nation. The reason for this safety record is attention to detail. Pupil Transportation Director Deborah Lincoln and her staff see to that detail for us in the state of Oregon. House Bill 2266 addresses just one of those details. The situation, a bus driver is involved in an accident or a DUI or some other license-threatening issue. The DMV suspends the driver's license. And if that license has an S, which stands for school bus endorsement, the school can, on occasion, or will have no knowledge of that suspension. House Bill 2266 allows the DMV to notify the school districts anytime there is a conviction or a suspension or a revocation of a driver's license. These instances, although seldom, are serious. The effect of the bill? Risk exposure to the school is reduced, students have a safer ride with a for certain licensed driver, and due process is accelerated for the driver. Schools presently face a very severe driver shortage. The sooner an event can be cleared or adjudicated, the sooner driver can be returned or dismissed from his duties. I ask you to support the passage of House Bill 2266.
Further discussion? Representative, would you like to close?
No. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Beyer votes aye. Representative Minnis, how do you vote? Representative Minnis, how do you vote? Minnis votes aye. House Bill 2266, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2279, relating to transfer of funds from Administrative Services Economic Development Fund.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2279. Representative Patty Smith. No. Representative Paul Holmey.
Yeah, confused me. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, colleagues. House Bill 2279 resolves a contradiction in the Oregon Revised Statutes relating to the Oregon State Lottery. This issue is a conflict in wording regarding the transfer process of lottery receipts to the counties for economic development. Existing law, ORS 461-544, states that all net proceeds from video lottery games shall be allocated to the Administrative Services Economic Development Fund. The next section states that the Oregon State Lottery shall transfer an amount equal to 2.5% to the net receipts from video lottery games from the State Lottery Fund to the counties for economic development activities. House Bill 2279 removes the language from the State Lottery Fund and adds allocated to the Administrative Services Economic Development Funds to make sure that we continue this very important program of providing economic development dollars to our counties. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Representative Holley, would you like to close?
No, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
House Bill 2279, having received the I want to go right straight to declare it passed. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed no. The clerk will open the voting system. Okay, very good. House Bill 2279, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2292, relating to bodies promoting agricultural products.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2292. Representative Patty Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring today before you for your consideration House Bill 2292, came out of the Ag and Natural Resource Committee on a unanimous vote, eliminates the sunset on the authority of the Department of Ag to review plans and projects recommended by commodity commissions for promotion, advertising, and research for public dissemination. Eliminates the sunset on the requirement of one commodity commission member for members of the public not associated with the commission. It also extends to January 2, 2010, the authority of the Oregon Department of Agriculture to review, approve, or disapprove plans and projects of the Oregon Wheat Commission. We heard in committee when Senate Bill 854 was passed in the 2003 session, a few of the Oregon's commodity commissions thought that offering a refund for all or part of the assessment would provide another level of protection from legal challenges. At the request of those commissions, alfalfa seed, grains, and wheat, the refund option was added and exempt those commodity commissions from the ODA review of marketing and messaging programs and plans, as well as exempt them from adding a public member. House Bill 2292 was developed in concert with Oregon's commodity commissions and represents the desires of each of the organizations. I ask for your support. House Bill 2292 was supported by Oregon's Commodity Commissions. It benefits producers and processors via the continued operation of the commissions to do generic promotion, research, and education. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does carrier yield?
No, I do.
She does.
Good luck.
Thank you, Representative. I note in the fiscal analysis on this that a statement, it's difficult to anticipate the fiscal cost, but that they do estimate that the cost of litigation will be significant. And my question, I guess, is whether this legitimately escaped ways and means or illegitimately escaped.
Thank you, good representative. If enacted, this bill maintains current operational practices and services with no fiscal impact. So,
sorry, didn't
we heard in committee that the bill maintains current. If the bill maintains current operational practices and services with no fiscal impact.
Mr. Speaker, I don't really understand how it, you know, where we
additional,
get to.
Additional question of the carrier?
Additional question. Or a clarification.
A clarification. Does the carrier yield?
I do.
She does.
Thank you for clarification from the committee administrator. Without this bill, we would have a significant impact.
Without this bill,
right.
We would be looking
right.
at significant. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Additional discussion? Okay. Thank you. Representative Smith, do you wish to close?
I do not. Thank you.
Thank you. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Chris Edwards, how do you vote? Edwards votes aye. Representative Flores, how do you vote? Flores votes aye. Representative Shields, how do you vote? Shields votes aye. House Bill 2292, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2358, relating to Oregon State Bar.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2358. Representative McPherson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2358 provides that employees of the Oregon State Bar may participate in the Oregon Savings Growth Plan. As many in the chamber are aware, I'm a pension lawyer in my evening and weekend job, and so when anything to do with retirement comes up in legislation, the people generally look to me. This bill is a good bill. It engages the benefits for the Oregon State Bar, which is a quasi-public agency because it handles the licensing function for those who deliver legal services to the citizens of the state. Those employees of the bar are covered by the PERS system, this bill would clarify their right to participate in the Oregon Savings Growth Plan, which is, in technical jargon, is a 457 plan. It is a plan that is like a 401k in that it allows an employee to reduce his or her pay, put it into an account, and direct how it will be invested, and then to receive the results of those investment returns on down the road at retirement. So it's self-funded by the employee. That's the key. It's simply to allow our good employees at the Oregon State Bar to assist with the providing for their own financial security. Thank you for your yes vote.
Further discussion? Representative McPherson, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system.
Very good.
House Bill 2358, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. It's our intention to complete the following two House bills and then carry over the memorials and resolutions. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2364, relating to American Indian Tribal Governments.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2364. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2364 comes to you from the Judiciary Committee, where it passed unanimously. It was brought to the Judiciary Committee by the Oregon State Bar. This bill allows Oregon courts to take judicial notice of the law, regulations, and rules of any federally recognized American Indian tribal government. It creates an exception to the hearsay rule for documents from a federally recognized American Indian tribal government, including records, reports, statements, marriage certificates, data compilations, and documents purporting to establish or affect an interest in property. It also amends our notary statutes so that any act of a notary authorized by tribal law has the same effect as those by any other notary officer in Oregon. It has no fiscal impact. House Bill 2364 is a very good bill and deserves your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, do you wish to close? Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Clem votes aye. House Bill 2364, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2365, relating to tenancies in real property.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2365. Representative Flores.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2365 removes unnecessary language and often confusing language from real property title statute. That statute's contained in Oregon Revised Statutes 92.180, and it's supposed to clarify how multiple parties hold title to property when they are listed on a deed. The statute's very important when determining ownership of a property when one or other of the owners dies. Real estate titles have some pretty archaic terms. The general rule is, unless the deed says otherwise, everyone owns the property as tenants in common. This is similar to a business, as if when an owner dies, his share of the property will pass to his heirs, not necessarily to the other property owner. But if a married couple, in a married couple situation, the law in Oregon is that unless the deed says otherwise, a married couple automatically owns property as tenants by the entirety. Only married couples can own property that way, and it means they own it like they were a single person. So if a spouse dies, the entire property passes along to the surviving spouse without going through probate. Despite Oregon's settled law, ORS 92.180 contains some language that increases the likelihood of confusion for married couples. And actually, that language is two little words, as such. And it was inserted into the statute in 1983 with the intent of, perhaps the intent of, aligning it with some parallel language further on down in the statute dealing with trusts. However, it created vagueness and ambiguity for all of these years, and unless the deed is properly prepared with certain language, it has created some difficulty for surviving spouses. So this change is important because without the protection for a married couple, a widow might lose a portion of his or her residence because of unintended language in the deed. House Bill 2365 will simplify the language to help prevent unintended and undesirable circumstances when a property owner dies. Passage of this bill will clarify that, absent other language to the contrary on the deed, a conveyance to a husband and wife will result in the creation of the ownership that will pass automatically to the survivor upon the death of one of them. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Flores, do you wish to close? She does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. House Bill 2365, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final reading, memorials, and resolutions. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that the measures remaining on today's final reading, memorials, and resolutions be carried over to the proper place on Tuesday, February 13th calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Bills, reports, and other business. Line on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 32 relating to disclosure of information regarding cremated remains and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 42 relating to adult foster homes and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 60 relating to Oregon Volunteers Commission for Voluntary Action Service and declaring an emergency.
Bills read first time or passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills. Third reading of Senate bills. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Committee on Government Accountability and Information Technology will be delayed until 1:30.
Thank you. Representative Barnhart.
Mr. Speaker, the House Committee on Revenue will meet promptly at 1:15.
Representative Hunt.
House Democrats will caucus immediately after you have an opportunity to grab your lunch.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request unanimous consent that I be granted a potential conflict of interest on House Bill 2111.
Representative Scott requests unanimous consent to be allowed to state his conflict of interest on House Bill 2111 without objection. So granted. Please state your conflict.
I have a contractor's license.
So noted for the record. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Honorable colleagues, Representative Burley and I would ask you to note the article in the Capitol Clips, the Thursday Capitol Clips, about the tragic loss of a friend of ours, Dennis Maloney. He's a former Deschutes County Corrections Chief, acclaimed for his community justice reforms. Maloney worked in the Central Oregon Justice Program for over 11 years as director of the county's Community Correction and Community Justice Department. He gained national recognition for developing programs for adults and youth that emphasize rehabilitation. Denny grew up in Green Bay, where he was in high school All-American. Then he played at the University of Minnesota, turned down an NFL chance to work with troubled kids. Denny had a passion and devotion to his work with kids. I hope to introduce a bill before this chamber that he asked me to drop for this session. As we've lost so many friends and family from this body recently, please include Denny's wife and five daughters in your prayers and thoughts. Thank you.
Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I may ask to have respectfully please return to courtesies.
Return to courtesies without objection. Please proceed.
Thank you. Colleagues, I'd like to welcome Ken Rislow, the Clatsop County Veteran Services worker, and he is a tireless worker for our veterans in my county. He's done this a long time. He has more miles in his car than I bet all of us combined, and I'd like you to give him a warm welcome. He's up in the gallery. Thank you.
Further courtesies? Further announcements? Remonstrances? Representative Crummell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's two things I would like to note in a remonstrance, and I guess this is probably the most appropriate place for it. The first is that I made an error on that bill, and I thank Representative Cameron from Salem for helping me understand that I read the wrong bill. So I guess we can admit when we make mistakes. My second thing that I'd like to point out, members, whenever we say the Pledge of Allegiance, please remember, and this is the old social studies teacher coming out in me, Mr. Speaker, but please remember, there is not a comma where you want to put a comma. When you say one nation under God, you have put a comma in there. If you look at the written document, there is not a comma. So it should be stated as one nation under God, indivisible, and then you carry on with the rest of it. I just want to point that out to the body because I like to see the pledge recited appropriately and correctly. And as I've done since 1999, I'm just reminding the body yet once again. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you very much, Representative Crummell. Further remonstrances? Colleagues, I'd just like to observe that five of our members gave their first had the first opportunity to carry a bill today, Representative Gelser, Representative Vic Gilliam, Chris Edwards, Brian Clem, and Suzanne Bonamici. I think they did a very fine job. Good work. Adjournment. Representative Jensen, 11 a.m. Tuesday, February 13th, 2007.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 11 a.m. Thursday, February 13th, 2007.
Representative Jensen moves the House adjourn until 11 a.m. Tuesday, February 13, 2007. Without objection, the House is adjourned.